Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Samach Aleph and Bet Aleph. Yesterday we left off discussing the structure of how we know that certain avodot apply even if they're not the normal way to worship Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah lays out, and the way the Gemara explains it, that if one worships the Avodah Zarah in the normal way to worship that Avodah Zarah, you are chayav. In addition, there are certain avodot, or the hishtachavah, whereby if you do this, no matter which Avodah Zarah it is, these are universal types of avodot, and you're going to be chayav. So the Gemara brought the source for that. They said, "Vayelech v'yavod elohim acherim." That is the source for the fact that if you worship the Avodah Zarah in the manner that it is normally worshipped, then you are chayav. Then the Gemara brought two other psukim. One pasuk was "Zoveach l'elohim yacharam," which is found in Parshat Mishpatim. And then, in continuation of that pasuk that's found in Devarim, it says that "Vayelech v'yavod elohim acherim v'yishtachu lahem." So there you see hishtachavaya. So here you have two items that were part of the klal. They're part of the principle that was laid out that if you worship the Avodah Zarah in the way that it's normally worshipped, then these items should have been included in that. The fact that they were segregated out, separated out, means that it follows the principle that we have in Rabbi Shmuel, Kol davar she'yah b'chlal yatza min haklal, lo lamed atzmo yatza, elo lamed al haklal kulo yatza. So these items that were segregated or designated separately come to teach us something. Now you have a choice because you have two items that were separated out. You have Zoveach l'Elohim Yacharam, and you have Hishtachava. Question is, which one of those is setting the standard for the klal, and which one of them is just speaking about itself? So the Braita tells us the following, that Zvicha is Yatzah min haklal. Zvicha was the one that comes to teach about the klal, and Zvicha teaches you that anything that's domed l'zvicha would be classified as an avodah that would be qualified to be chayav in a universal sense. And the Gemara says, what's like zvicha is bilti l'Hashem levado, that it has to do with avodot pnim. It has to do with items that are done inside the mikdash. Those things that are done in the mikdash, then if you do them and they're universal avodot, they will also be chayav for shalo kedarka by avodah zarah. But then you have to add in hashtachava, you have to add in a bowing down to the idol, because that wouldn't have been included, because that's not an avodat pnim. So we need you to tell us that if you bow down, that's also a universal type of avodah. That's how the Braita left off. The question then that was posed by Rabbi Bar Chanan the Abaye was, why not do the reverse? Let us say that hishtachava is the thing that is yotze min haklal lamed, and that would teach you that anything that is derech kavod, anything that is showing any sort of reverence for the Avodah Zarah would be considered to be problematic and be universally that way. That means items that are mentioned in the Mishnah, like chibuk, v'nishuk, all of those would be chayav mitah, because hishtachava would teach you that. Then you have the word zoveach. What are you going to do with that? Because that zvicha would be included. It would be subsumed under hishtachava. What do you have the extra zvicha for? To that, Rava Barbara Chanan answers, you need it to teach you that you can have machshava me'avoda le'avoda be'avoda zarah. You shech the animal with the intent to put the kalavim or the dam on the mizbeach of avoda zarah, that works. So now he says, I have something to do with the word zoveach, and I could have learned hishtachava as being the principle that tells us what the yatzah min haklal is. That's his question to Abaye. The Gemara says, this is what we left off with yesterday, which is, there you have a machloket amoraim between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, is whether you can be machashev mi'avoda l'avoda be'avoda zarah. Rabbi Yochanan says yes. We learn from Pigol, which is the principles of Kodoshim, by which you can have a machshava, a thought, an improper thought from one avoda to another. And he says that avoda zarah is compared to avodat panim. And so just like you can have machshava, pigol, b'avodat panim, you can also have machshava b'avodah zarah. So for Rabbi Yochanan, the answer here, according to the Gemara, was easy, which is that zoveach, I have nothing to do with zoveach. If you tell me zoveach teaches me about machshava, me'avodah d'avodah, I know that already from pigol. For Reish Lakish, it's much more problematic. Rabbi Reish Lakish says we don't learn from pigol, and so then he would need the word zoveach to teach you that there is machshava from avodah to avodah. That's the case, then why doesn't he structurally set up the Yatzah min haklal being hishtachava, not like the Braita? And that's the question that the Gemara left off with, and that's where we ended yesterday. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asurah, Reish Lakish Amar Muteret, Anicha the Rabbi Yochanan. So for Rabbi Yochanan, I understand why you have to have Zvicha be the Yotzei Min HaKlal, because otherwise I have nothing to do with the Pasuk. Ela Reish Lakish, Baikra. Reish Lakish needs that Pasuk to teach you. You can have Machshava, Mi Avoda De Avoda, in Avoda Zara. So now the Gemara said, Matki Flora Papa, Ui Rabbi Yochanan Lo Baikra. Wait a minute, Rabbi Yochanan can't use the Pasuk? Adkan Loka Asa Rabbi Yochanan El Behema. When you look carefully at the Machloket Amoraim that we brought between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, they're addressing the status of the animal. What's the status of this animal which you used or had a machshava to use for Avodah Zarah when you were shechting, you said you're going to put its chalavim on the Mizbeach? The status of the animal is Asura or Muteret. It does not address what the status of the individual who worshipped the Avodah Zarah was. That's what he's saying. Rabbi Yochanan Elo Beima, Aval Gavra Lo Bar Kedalohu. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he never mentions that the person who engages in this activity is Chayav Mita. Vatakra L'Chiyuvei Gavra L'Kedalohu. And that's exactly what you could use the pasuk of Zaveach Lelim Yacharam. Yacharam means to put to death. So that's what you would use the pasuk for to teach you. Not only is the Behema Asura, but the person is Chayav Mita for that type of behavior. So even Rabbi Yochanan, you could come up with a way to use the pasuk. And then Rav Bar Rav Chanan's question comes back to the forefront, which is why not use Hishtachava as the Yotzei Min HaKlal and not Zvicha? Matkiv lo Rav Acha Breid Rav Ika, Ulu Reish Lakish Mi Baikra. First of all, who says that Reish Lakish needs the Pasuk at all? Ad Gan Lo Kash Shari Reish Lakish Ela Behema. All Reish Lakish says the animal is not classified as Avodah Zarah. Aval Gavra Bar Ktolohu. But maybe the person is subject to punishment for worshipping Avodah Zarah. We do have a paradigm or a precedence for this. It seems very strange. How could it be that the animal itself remains mutar, and the person who worshipped the Avodah Zarah is now chayav mita? How could there be this bifurcation in the din, by which the animal is not classified as Avodah Zarah, yet the person is a bar ktala? He says, we have such a paradigm, we have such a situation, when a person bows down to a mountain, to har mutar, v'ubda v'saif. Person who bows down to the mountain, a mountain remains mutar. On the other hand, the person, the Ben Noach, who worships the Avodah Zarah, is chayav mita for worshiping Avodah Zarah. It's based on the pasuk Eloheihem al Heharim, that when you go in and they have gods on the mountains, and the drasha that we saw then is Eloheihem al Harim, velo haharim Eloheihem. That their gods are on the mountains, but the mountains are not their gods. They can't take natural phenomenon and make them asur because they worship them as Avodah Zarah. Like you said, it could be true for sun, for moon, anything like that would also be in the same category. These are natural phenomenon, luminaries, and they can't make them asurim. So he says we have such a precedent by which something can be mutar, and yet the person who worships them will be chayav. Amalei Rav Acha Midifti Ravina, the Maidik Amalei Rova Bar Rav Chanan Abaye. The question that was posed by Rova Bar Rav Chanan to Abaye, Ema Yatsa Yishtachava Vila Meid Ala Klal Kulo. So then, let us say that that'll be the Yotzei Min HaKlal. Then, Echa Ya'avdu Limu'utei Mai. Then, how will we worship this Avodah Zarah? What does that come to exclude? V'chit Ema Limu'utei Ha'po'er Atzmo L'zovichim Mi Yishtachava Nafka. If it comes to tell you that someone who is po'er atzmo, someone who defecates, lizovchim, to something which is normally worshipped through bringing korbanot or sacrifices to it. The Mishnah addresses the fact that if you're po'er to pe'or, if you defecate to pe'or, and that is the way that it's normally done, you are chayav. How do I know that if you go ahead and defecate to a different avodah zarah, that there you will not be chayav? So he's suggesting maybe that's what you learn from Echa Yavdu. That when you say, how do they worship it? And then you want to mimic the way that they worship it. Here you're not doing that. That's found in the Pasuk in Devarim in Perek Yud Bet. It says, Hishamer lecha, pentin akesh achreim, acharei sham dami panecha. Don't go after their gods after Hashem has destroyed these nations in front of you. Penti drosh leluhem. Maybe you're going to look to worship their gods later. Eicha yavdu agoyim elet Elohim. How do they worship their gods? Vesekein gamani. And I'm going to mimic or emulate the way that they did it. So here you would have a miut that says only the way that they did it is it counted. But if you do something else, it's not counted. So that's what the suggestion is, that if you defecate to another avodah zarah besides Pa'or, how do I know that you're not chayav? From the pasuk of echayav do. Gemara says, you don't need that. That you already learned out from Hishtachava. Remember, when you say Hishtachava is Yatzamina Kalal Lilamaid, it has to be similar to Hishtachava. My Hishtachava Derech Kibud, I've called Derech Kibud. There's a demand that it be like Hishtachava. Hishtachava is an activity that involves giving reverence. A person bows down because they want to show kavod to another person. They want to show kavod to the melech. They want to show kavod to the avodah zarah. That means if that is the paradigm by which we learn all other avodot that you are chayav, there is a demand for kavod. And that means that person who is poeret atzmo, that's not derech kavod, that's derech bizayon. And so therefore it's only chayav if that's the way to worship the avodah zarah. Otherwise it wouldn't be counted. So that can't be what you do with echayav do. Ela me'ute apoeret atzmo lemarkulis. Comes to teach you that someone who defecates to markulis, that person is not chayav mitam. Sagadat chamina ho abadato bizayon ho. That the normal way to worship the markulis is in a denigrating manner. Avko bizayon. I would have thought then any denigration towards the markulis would count towards being avodah zarah. Kamash malan, that that's not the case, and that's what echayav do teaches you. Markulis, the avodah is throwing a stone at the either statuette or the pile of stones that's made there. So it's not something where you're giving respect. You're tossing a stone at. You're doing something that normally would be considered a denigration. People throw stones when they're upset. People throw stones when they want to protest. They don't throw stones as derech kavod to the item. Although we do know that today, many times when people visit the cemetery and they go to a gravesite, they put a stone on the grave. But that might be placement. Throwing has a different connotation. And so since the avodah markulis is in that denigrating manner, maybe you would say that a poer, someone who defecates, would also be chayav, even though that's not the derech avodah. That's what echayav do comes to teach you, only if it is darko is it considered to be avodah. But if it's not darko, even though the normal worship is derech bizayon, this doesn't count. Kamash v'lan. So that's what you would use it for. Tosafot notes over here, what about according to the way that we learn it? The way that we learn it, zvicha is yatzah, and that teaches us about everything. What do you do with echayav do then, according to the way that we learn it? We just explained according to one, or the questioning of Rabbi Bar Rav Chanan, where he thought maybe Hishtachava should be the Yotzei Min HaKlal. How do we deal with it when we say that the Zvicha is Yotzei Min HaKlal? So the Balei Tosfot suggests that Echayav Du teaches us about Avoda Shel Bizayon, when it's the Derech of the Avoda of the Avoda Zarah. From Zvicha and Hishtachava, both of those are mannerisms that are Derech Kavod, that they are worshiping the avodah zarah in a way that is positive or reverent. On the other hand, how do you know that if you defecate to Pa'or, or if you throw a stone at Markulus, your chayav, because it is derech bizayon? That's what echayav do teaches you. If that's the way they worshipped it, if you emulate that, then you're going to be chayav. And that's what we learn out from echayav do, for the one who learns that zvicha is yotzei min haklal. So then the Gemara goes on and says, Elahad amar Rabbi Elazar, how do I know that someone who sacrifices an animal to Markulus, that you're chayav? Shem Nemar. The pasuk says, lo yizbichu odet zivcheyem lesirim, that they will no longer bring their korbanot to the sirim, to these other powers, whether these are the demons or these are avodah zarah. Im einu inyan lekedarka, I don't need you to tell me about zvicha kedarka, dichtiv, because the pasuk says, echayav du. That is, teaches you the way they worshipped it, you wanted to emulate. We already know that if you're emulating them, that you're chayav. So then what is zvicha l'si'irim? What is that coming telling you to be chayav for? Tzneo inyan l'shalokedarka. Must be a case of shalokedarka. Shalokedarka mishtachava nafka. We already learned shalokedarka from mishtachava. Meaning that once you have either the yotzei min haklal being zvicha or the yotzei min haklal being mishtachava, from there we already learned that if you do it shaloka darka, you are chayav. So hatam bezoveach lahachis. It's a case where he's sacrificing lahachis, which is interesting because it's not clear here who he's trying to make angry. I mean, zoveach lahachis, there are two possibilities. You're either trying to be machis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or you're trying to be machis the avodah zarah. So it could be that he's zoveach the markulus, and he's doing it in that manner because he wants to demonstrate that he doesn't do the Markalus like everybody else and throws the stones. He does this sacrificing, and he sees that as a protest against the Avodah Zarah. Or he does this to anger God. He's not interested in worshiping the Avodah Zarah. He's simply interested in demonstrating that he doesn't care what God thinks, or that he wants to get God angry because he wants to do an Aveira. He's not intent on doing Avodah Zarah. He's just intent on making some negative statement. The question is, which one does it refer to? Is it a negative statement about the Avodah Zarah or a negative statement about God? But in either case, he's not worshiping the Avodah Zarah. So as Rashi notes over here, so the pasuk teaches you that you are in violation of a lav, of a lotase, even though you're not chayav mitah for Avodah Zarah, you're still in violation of a lotase, because here you worshipped the Avodah Zarah, even though your intent was not to worship the Avodah Zarah. But the appearances are one of doing zvicha to Se'irim, and that's enough to be in violation of a lav. And as Tosafot points out, you wouldn't learn that out from Zoveach Leluhim Yacharam, because over there also you have zvicha. That's not the normal way to worship it. So I would have thought that should be able to include it. The answer there is that Zoveach Leluhim Yacharam is speaking about a case when you do a zvicha to Avodah Zarah that is normally worshipped in a reverent manner. Markalus, which is done in a derech bizayon, you would have thought that zvicha to that would not count, because they worship it in a negative way, meaning in a denigrating way. Now you're coming to do it in a way that's kavod. So maybe that wouldn't count. That's why you need the pasuk of V'lo yizbichu od et zivcheyem l'se'irim. Rav Humanuna, yikasu lei torei. He lost some of his shvarim, some of his oxen got lost. Pagabe Rabbo, on his way searching for his oxen, he bumped into Rabbo. Romale matnitin ahadodi. He brought a stira between the Mishnayot. So it's interesting, first of all, even though he was busy trying to find his shvarim, he found time to learn Torah, or he took time out to deal with a halachic question before he moved on. That's a nice idea here that's brought by the Gemara. Tznan, Oyved Ovadat Kochavim, our Mishnah, which begins, one who worships Avodah Zarah is Chayav. Ovedin, Omer Lo. If you worship the Avodah Zarah, then you are Chayav. If you simply accept the Avodah Zarah as a god, that would not be the case. Va'anan Tznan, don't we have a Mishnah coming up a little further in the Perek? Haomer Evod, Elech Ve'avod, Nelech Ve'navod. Person says, I will worship, I will go and worship, let us go and worship. So there you see that just simply stating the fact that you're going to worship is enough to make you Chayav. Amalei Be'omer, Eini Mikablo Alai Elevavodah. Our Mishnah is a case where he has negative Kavanah. He says, I'm only going to be worshiping the Avodah Zarah when I worship it. My acceptance of it is not enough. I only classify it as worshiping it once I do. So in the case where you don't make that stipulation, then acceptance of the Avodah Zarah, or declaring the fact that you want to go worship this God, that's enough. In the case where you say, I'm only going to worship it through actual activity, then you need that activity in order to be considered worshiping. Rav Yosef Amar, Tenaei Shekalt Mi'alma? What's going on here? You just pick up a bunch of Tenaim and suggest that there's a Machloke Tenaim over here? So first of all, you're dealing with two different Mishnayot. And they are not exactly juxtaposed. They're in the same Perek, but they are a little farther away from each other, and they're speaking about different issues. That's number one. Number two is, your reconciliation here, it's creating a new concept. You have one Tana that says this, another Tana says this, and all of a sudden you come up now with a third situation, which is the reconciliation between them. So you're imposing a view or creating almost like a new Tana. Why are you allowed to do that? Or, what's the problem with having a Machloket Tanaim? We find that there are Tanaim with these different opinions, and therefore we can assign them to those Tanaim. So for any one of those reasons, Rav Yosef says, I don't understand why you're reconciling this way. Just say it is a Machloket Tanaim. Tanaehi. Machloket Tanaim, the Tanya. Haomer, bo v'ivduni. Person says, come and worship me. Rabbi Meir, Michayev. Rabbi Yehuda, poter. And Rabbi Yehuda says, you're patur. Heicha de palchu, in a case where they actually worship him, kuliyama lo plige. Everybody agrees, diktiv, lo tase lecha pesel. Lecha pesel, even if you make yourself into an avodah zara. Ki plige, bidibura ba'alma. The question is, when you don't actually do it, but you speak about it, you articulate your desire to do that. Rabbi Meir Savar, dibura miltahi. Rav Meir believes that that manner of speech, that articulation is enough to be classified as avodah zarah. Rav Yehuda savar dibur alav milti. On the other hand, Rav Yehuda says speaking is not enough. So you make Rav Yehuda the author of our Mishnah here, and that's why you need oveid and not dibur. And Rav Meir will be the author of the Mishnah later on, which says that dibur is enough. So now, here you have a scenario which is being described in this machloket Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir, that the person is trying to be mesit. He's trying to convince others to worship avodah zarah. He says, come and worship me. The question is that sufficient, that articulation, that dibur, is it enough? And the way that we explain the machloket now, according to Rav Yosef, is that Rav Meir says that is enough, and Rav Yehuda says that's not enough. Then, hadar amar Rav Yosef, lav milti damrei. Rav Yosef backs away from his position, that which I'm saying is incorrect. Tafila Rav Yehuda, bidibur anami chiyuvei mechayiv. I have a braita that shows me that Rav Yehuda also believes that dibur is enough. D'tanya, Rav Yehuda omer, lo'olam inu chayav, ad shiomar, evod. Until the person says, I will worship. Elech ve'avod, I'll go and worship. Nelech ve'avod, let us go and worship. But my kamiflegei, then what's their machloket? Because now you just proved to me that Rabbi Yehuda also believes that articulation is enough. If that's the case, then their machloket's not about whether articulation versus avodah means that there's something else that is generating their machloket. So first of all, that rids us of the possibility of explaining Rabbi Yosef that it's a machloket tanaim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Number two is we want to understand the machloket Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. So, b'meisit la'atzmo v'amri le'in kamiflegei. It's a case where he's trying to convince people to worship himself. That was what we saw the braita was about. And then the people acquiesce. They say yes. He says, come and worship me. The people say, sure, let's go and worship you. So now the question is, what did they mean? Mar savar, meisit la'atzmo shamile. When a person says, come worship me, people listen to him. V'indi ka'amri le, and when they say yes, kushtuhu, it's the truth. They really do. They're going to go and worship this individual. They're acquiescing to worship this individual as a deity, to worship him as a bodhisattva. Umar savar, meisit atzmo lo shamile. People don't buy into someone making themselves into a bodhisattva. Meme amre, because they're going to say to themselves, maishna ihu minan didan. How is he different than us? He's a human being. We're human beings. Why should we worship him any more than we worship ourselves? So they're not going to buy into it. Ve'in. So then why do they say yes? Ve'in de'kamre achuche ale. They are making fun of him. They're answering him in the affirmative to make fun of him. They're going to say, yeah, we're going to come worship you. They're answering it in a way that's indicative of the fact they don't buy into what he's saying. And they're making fun of him by saying, yeah, sure, we're going to come worship you. Just note over here that the Baal Tosfot point out that the sugya is a little difficult because are we speaking about a mesit throughout this sugya, which is someone who's convincing others to worship avodah zarah, or we are speaking about the niseit, the one who is being convinced to worship avodah zarah? The way that we explained it, that it was originally speaking about the mesit, and later on the Gemara switches to the niseit. Rashi, consistently throughout the sugya, says we're talking about the mesit, and the question of Tosafot is, what do you mean if you're speaking about a mesit? The other party does not have to accept or listen to you in order to be classified as a mesit. Someone's convincing others to worship avodah zarah. The mere attempt to cause others to worship avodah zarah makes you culpable as a mesit. So Rashi, first of all, says that the mesit, when he says, let's go worship, implicit in that statement is that he's been mekabel it as an Eloah, that he's accepted it as a god. Tosafot rejects that and says, that's later on in the Gemara we say that. But right now you have to say that when he says, let's go worship the avodah zarah, he says that after saying, I accept it as a god, or explicitly makes some sort of acceptance of it as a god. Number two, Rashi says that the whole sugya is speaking about a mesit. And if that's the case, Tosafot's question remains, which is, why would you then need the other party to say in, yes, here in the last part of the sugya? So Tosafot at first says, possibly the whole sugya is speaking about nisait, the one who's being convinced to worship avodah zarah. And then before, when we said, kuli alma, everyone agrees that if he worships avodah zarah, that she is chayav, that's speaking about the mesit. Their machloket is about the niseit, the one that you're attempting to convince. If they accept the avodah zarah in that convincing, then they are going to be chayavim. But then Tosafot says, maybe you can even explain it that the entire sugya is speaking about a mesit, but there's a difference between a person who's convincing others to worship a certain avodah zarah. In that case, just the mere convincing makes you culpable. But in a case where you're trying to convince others to worship you as the avodah zarah, that is a little bit far-fetched, and therefore we only consider that to be a mesit if others accept your proposal. And that's why the latter part here of the Gemara is speaking about whether they did or did not accept it. And in that way, Tosafot says you could read like Rashi, it's all about the mesit, but differentiate between this case where you need a response and the cases before where you don't need a response. Otherwise, Tosafot thinks that the whole sugya should be about the nisait, those that are being convinced, and that's why they need to accept in order for them to be culpable. Umatzinitin, but now we still have to deal with the fact that there is this distinction between our Mishnah that demands avodah and the Mishnah by mesit that doesn't, that only requires articulation. So my answer is matnitan kan be yachid en nisait kan be rabim anisatim. Depends on who is being convinced to worship avodah zarah. Are you convincing an individual to worship avodah zarah, or are you convincing a large group of individuals to worship avodah zarah? So whenever the Gemara says kan be kan, you could always read it in both ways. The way that Rashi reads it over here is that yachid lo mimlach v'toyi batrei. A single individual does not go and check on the matter. Once he's convinced, he moves along with his decision. And here, once he acquiesces, we know he's going to worship the avodah zarah, and he's going to do what he says. Rabim mimlechei v'lo to batrei. And then when you have a multitude of people, they don't all follow each other. They're going to check in, they're going to check with the rav, they're going to check with the beit din, they're going to inquire about it. Not everybody's just going to go, yeah, 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 and then follow along with this guy. Even after they say yes, they still have questions in the back of their mind, and they're going to investigate it further. So here, the Gemara makes a distinction between Yachid and Rabim, which is, the Yachid, once he makes up his mind, he doesn't back away from it, and he's going to do what he said he's going to do. The Rabim, since it's by definition a multitude of people, everybody's different, and everybody thinks differently. And so even if they say yes, that doesn't mean it's their final statement about it, because they would check into it, they might ask questions about it, they're going to investigate further. And so therefore you can't assume just because they said, let's go worship, that they're actually going to carry it out, or they're actually going to worship the avodah zarah. Something could happen in between to stop them. The Ran brings a alternate view, which is just the opposite. That the Rabim, once they make up their mind, there's this social pressure that they all decided together, and they all agreed, and everybody already agreed, so they move forward. So the mob mentality would make it that once they've agreed to worship avodah zarah, we can assume that that's what they're going to do, and therefore that's the violation at that point. The yachid is always uncertain about himself or uncertain about his decision, so you always reach out to try to get other opinions about it. So the Ran does bring an alternate view here as to whether the yachid or the rabim are the ones that check out. Obviously the girsa would have to be the opposite as well. Rav Yosef, mina amina lo. How can I prove to you that that's the case? Dichtiv. Because the pasuk says by the mesit, ki yisitcha achicha ben imecho bincha ubitcha oeshet chekecho reacha asher kenafshecha beseter leimor nelcha v'na'avda Elohim acharim asher liyadata atav avotecha. Let's go worship avodah zarah. The Torah says to you, or instructs you there, lo tovelo velo tishma elav. Do not give in to him, do not listen to him. Velo tachos incha alav. Should have no mercy on him. You should not spare his life. This is how we know that we always go to the Chumrah side by a mesit, that we don't give him the benefit of the doubt. We don't look for a schut for him because of this pasuk. But the pasuk instructs you to lo tovelo velo tishma ilav. Ha ava v'shama chayav. If you agree, acquiesce, and listen to him, then you will be chayav. So you see, the pasuk tells you that ki yisitcha, that's talking about an individual who's being swayed to worship avodah zarah. You see that once he's acquiesced, that's enough to be classified as avodah zarah. Ava v'shama, that's all you need in order to be chayav. So he's saying that that's proof, positive, that this is the distinction between the two mishnayot. Eit ve'abaye, mishani ben niseit derabim l'niseit deyachid. The distinction you are making between a yachid and rabim, does that really exist? Vatanya, we have a brayta. Ki yisitcha achicha ben imecha. So that's the pasuk that we just read. This is from the mesit. Echad yachid aniseit ve'echad rabim anisatim. From there, it would sound like the objects of his convincing could be an individual or it could be multitudes of people. Ki yisitcha Who's he trying to sway in the face of Avodah Zarah? Is it a large group of individuals or a single individual? Seems like there'd be no difference. The Torah distinguished the parsha of the Yachid from the parsha of the Rabim. You have the parsha of the Yachid that we read over here, and then we have the parsha of Ira Nidachat that follows right afterwards. So a similar refrain about an individual convincing others to worship Avodah Zarah. The Torah has two little parshiot here. There's the parshia of Mesit, which is about an individual convincing an individual. And then you have the parsha of Ir Nidachat, which is either a person or persons convincing an entire city to worship Avodah Zarah. So we see the Torah does distinguish between them. Yachid michlal rabim lachmir al gufo lahakel al mamuno. The uniqueness of the Yachid that is convinced to worship Avodah Zarah, the person who is Nisait, over there, his din is more chamur by his goof, but more makil by his mamon. That is because by his goof, he's punished with skila for worshiping Avodah Zarah. Mamon, his possessions are not affected by the fact that he's put to death for worshiping Avodah Zarah. Rabim Miklal Yachid, the Rabim were distinguished from the Yachid, la'akel al gufam, to say that their death penalty is a different death penalty, a lighter death penalty of Saif. Ulachmir al Mimonam. On the other hand, all of their possessions have to be burnt and wiped out. Bet kol shlala tik boats el toch rechava resarafta ba'esh. After Beisha Teir, Bet kol shlala kalil la'ashem lokecha, v'ayta tel olam lo tibane'ot. So you have this requirement to eliminate the possessions of the city. So you have a difference between them, which is either the Yachid gets skila, the Ir Nidach gets Saif, which is a lighter punishment, but we make up for that by the fact that their possessions are also destroyed. But that's why it had to separate between the parshiot. Babayi's question is, Baha Miltohu the Shiny. That's the only distinction. According to this, that's the distinction between them. Aval Bechomile, Kiadodininu. Aside from that distinction that we just enumerated, there is no distinction between a Yachid and Rabim. And that would undermine Rav Yosef's contention that there's a difference between a Yachid and Rabim in the acceptance of Avodah Zarah. The Yachid, we don't expect him to back out. Once he's made up his mind he's going to go forward, he will go forward. Then the Rabim are questioning, they are a little more suspect of the whole situation. Therefore, they're going to inquire and likely won't plan out the way that they said it would. That was a distinction that Rav Yosef made, and Rabbi is pointing out, how come the Braita didn't note that? The Braita only notes one difference between them, and it seems that that's the sole difference between them, which is whether the punishment is Saif or Skila, and whether they lose their possessions. Elam Rabbaye, kam b'nisait mipi atzmo, kam b'nisait mipi acherim. Question is, how was he convinced to worship the Avodah Zarah? Did he convince himself to worship the Avodah Zarah? Or was there an outside party convincing him to worship the Avodah Zarah? That's what Abaye says. Mipi atzmo, if he convinces himself to worship Avodah Zarah, mimlach, he will back out of it. Since the whole thing derives from his own thoughts and his own processing and his own considerations, so he has doubts about it. He questions it. So even though he convinced himself to do it, there's still lingering questions in his mind and he will look into the matter. Therefore, we can't take it for granted that just because he says he's going to worship Avodah Zarah, that's classified as worshiping Avodah Zarah. Mipi acherim, on the other hand, if others convince him to do it, garir batrayu. He follows after them. They follow like the sheep. Social pressures, the peer pressure, the power of the crowd will carry him along. Once they decided to go forward, they just move and everybody's doing it. And so then the power of the crowd overcomes anybody's doubts and everybody engages in the activity and he won't regret it. So therefore, once they've accepted it, we assume that that is classified or qualified as Avodah Zarah. So that will explain the Mishnah later on that says that it's enough when you say, let us go worship. And our Mishnah says you need Avodah, that is referencing to a Yachid who convinced himself versus the situation in which the other person convinced him and he's going to follow along, he's going to join the group. How would I prove that to you? It says the one who's trying to convince you to worship Avodah Zarah, don't acquiesce, don't listen to him. Once you agree, you are chayav. So you see that when someone else is convincing you and they acquiesce to that convincing, you're going to follow whoever it is. You're going to join the group, join the person that's doing it. The other hand, when it's yourself, then that you don't have that pull to go and worship Avodah Zarah. Rav Amar, Both of them are a case where it's an outside party that's trying to convince them to worship Avodah Zarah. Hadam alei kach okalet, kach shoteh, kach mitiva, kach miriah. So here, in one of them, he gives them the full description of what the Avodah is of this Avodah Zarah. It eats this, it drinks this, this is how you take care of it, this is what you do for it. Ha, dolom alei kach okalet, kach shoteh. The other case is a case where he doesn't tell them that information. So Rava says the distinction is how much information was disclosed. If it's simply, let us go worship the Avodah Zarah, and the person says, yes, that won't be enough. Because he doesn't have enough information to know exactly what he's going to do or what type of Avodah there is. If it's specified to him the details of that which is the Avodah, that's enough framework that if he accepts it already, we can classify it as if he's going to worship Avodah Zarah, because he knows what to do. And Amar Rava Minami Nalah, how can I prove that to you? Dichtiv. The Pasuk says, so it says that he's trying to convince you to worship the Avodah Zarah. He's trying to convince you to worship this Avodah Zarah from those items that are near you. And then the Pasuk goes on to say, Mali Krovim, Mali Rechukim. Why does the Pasuk distinguish between those that are close by and those that are far away? It's true that you're more likely to worship Avodah Zarah that is local to you versus Avodah Zarah that's far away. But nevertheless, why does the Pasuk have to specify that? Of course, any Avodah or any engagement in Avodah Zarah is problematic. What does Krovim and Rechukim have to do with it? Hachi kamale, mitivutan shel Krovim, atalameid matibutam shel Rechukim. From the information that you have about those Avodot, Zarot, that are local, you can extrapolate from that to understand what is going on with the Avodah Zarah that is far away. I mean, that the fact that you know the Avodah Zarah that is you're familiar with, and you know that it's all a farce, that certainly the same is true with those that are far away. There's no difference between them. My love, what did he say to him? The Kamalei kach ochelet, kach shoteh, kach mitiva, kach miriah. Sounds like he's trying to convince him of something about this Avodah Zarah. Now, it's one thing if the Avodah Zarah is local, but if the Avodah Zarah is far away, he's got to give you more information. He's got to give you information about what the Avodah Zarah is, and this is what you do with it, or this is how you worship it. Otherwise, the person has no information. The fact that he's disclosing this information is how he's trying to convince the individual to go worship the Avodah Zarah. And you see here that in a case where you give that type of permission up, that's subject to lo tovelo velo tishmai lav. Don't acquiesce, don't give in to him, because you know from what the local Avodah Zarah that all of that is a farce. The same is true of the Avodah Zarah that's far away. And even though he gives you all these disclosures, it doesn't matter. And so here, when he gives you all these disclosures and the person acquiesced, we consider him to be an Oved Avodah Zarah, because he's going to go through with it. He had full information and full disclosure. The other hand, if the person just says generically, let's go worship that Avodah Zarah, then that's not considered to be enough to have the acceptance be Oved Avodah Zarah. There you'll need Avodah. You have to actually do something in order to be Chayav. Ravashi Amar, Seifa b'Yisrael Mumar. The Seifa is in a case where you have an Yisrael Mumar, and this is an individual who has already demonstrated a problem with the halacha, problem with abiding by the laws. So this person is already halfway there. So when he says, I'm going to go worship Avodah Zarah, he doesn't have those pangs of guilt. He doesn't have any reticence about going forward with it. And so therefore, his acceptance is considered to be Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, if it's a regular Yisrael, that person has pangs of guilt, feels more reticent about it. He hasn't demonstrated behavior that says that when he accepts Avodah Zarah, he really means to do it. There you're going to need Avodah, and it's not articulation, it's not going to be enough. Ravina Amar, lo zu af zu ktani. It's a literary style in the Mishnah, which is not only this, which is the case of doing the Avodah, but also this, the case where you articulate it. So even though from a logical standpoint, you wouldn't necessarily write that way, which is to say, oh, if you worship with Avodah, you're Chayav. Not just Avodah, but also through speech. If you just told us about the articulation, we'd know about the Avodah. It's our literary style of the Mishnah to tell you something obvious, and after it's told you the obvious point, it tells you the less obvious point. Itmar, you asked earlier, how do we define what is considered to be Oved Avodah Zarah? Here the Gemara is about to address it in a machloka between Rava and Abaye, and the whole Gemara, to be honest with you, is shocking, because we would have thought otherwise. And if you think you asked anybody without knowing the Gemara, I think their conclusion would be different. But the Gemara opens this issue up to show you that intent is so important with regards to avodah zarah, that anything that lacks the proper intent or lacks full intent is not classified as worshipping avodah zarah. And that is the question that's posed here, machloket ha'moraim, itmar, oved ovedat kochavim me'ahava u'me'ira. Someone who worships avodah zarah out of love or out of fear. So now Rashi explains, what is ava me'ira? Rashi says, me'ahavat adam u'me'irat adam. Because you love someone or because you fear them, v'lo chashva b'libo be'lahut. He doesn't think that this item is a god. There is someone else that is doing it, someone else who is either convincing you or already engaged in this behavior, and either because you love that person so much, you want to do or something that will please them, you want to do something that will make them happy, so you worship the avodah zarah, not because you have any interest in the avodah zarah, not that you think it's a deity in any way, simply because you want to please the individual. So that's called ahava, according to Rashi. Yira is a case where you are fearful of the other party. Doesn't clear here from Rashi what the fear is. Sounds like something where you just want to, again, please the individual. It's the king, and you know that you're afraid of the king, and if you worship the avodah zarah, that will be, in a sense, pleasing to the king, or take your fear of the king away, because now he knows that you're a loyal subject. Again, doesn't mean that you're worshiping the avodah zarah, just demonstrating to the individual that you are giving them kavod, nothing to do with the avodah zarah. That's one way to read yira. The other possible way of reading yira is that fear of being punished, fear of being killed. The person's afraid for their own life, and since they're afraid for their own life, they worship the avodah zarah, but only because their life was at stake, not because they really believed in the God. Oh, very good. Tosafot asked your question. We'll get there in 1 second. So that's the way that the Rashi, the Bali Tosafot seemingly agree or say the same thing. The Rambam has a different formulation that seems to indicate that Ava and Ira is not about your fear of a man, your love of another man, but your love of this idol and your fear of this idol, which makes it even a greater chiddush. You're worshiping the avodah zarah not because you think it's a god, but because you love it. Not because you think it's a god, you're afraid of it. So that would mean that you're afraid that it'll punish you. You're afraid that something bad or ominous will happen to you, so you do this avodah, not because you believe that it is a god, not because you believe that this avodah zarah has some chut or authority, but simply because you're afraid that you might get punished or something bad will happen to you. Or ava, you love it. Over here, most of the mefarshim or rishonim criticize the Rambam because how could you claim that me'ahava is not classified as avodah zarah? Isn't that exactly what avodah zarah is? You love this item, and if it's demonstrating your love, you worship or you do things for the idol itself. Just like when we love Hashem, we do things to demonstrate our love to Hashem. So demonstrating your love towards the idol seems like avodah zarah. So what you have to say on behalf of the Rambam is that when we speak about ahava over here, it's not necessarily that you love the idol qua idol, but you love the statue. It's beautiful to you. Something special to you. It's not about what the idol represents, but rather about the actual physical object here that you love, the object or something that's close to your heart. But then the Rambam is even a bigger chiddush, which is that ahava yirah, that you can actually worship an item not because you think it's a god, but you love it, you fear it, which seems to be attributing powers to this item, despite the fact that's not considered to be a avodah zarah, according to the Rambam. We're going to see in a second the machloki between Abaye and Rava as to what it is. Abaye amar chayav, in this case of ava and ira, Abaye toes the line that we would think is more rational, and you're chayav. This is avodah zarah. You call it ava ira, you can call it whatever you want. In the end, you bow down to the idol. In the end, you acted like you accept this idol as a god. Rav amar patur. Now then, Rav says, you are patur. Obviously, it's a sur. You shouldn't be engaging in this activity, but you are patur. Abaye amar chayav. You're chayav, apacha. In the end, you worship the avodah zarah. There's no two ways about it. Rav amar patur. Itable alei be'eloa in ilolo. If you accept it as a god, then that's the case. You don't accept it as a god, that's not the case. Over here, Rava makes the stipulation that there has to be some either mindset or articulation that that which you're doing is intent or is intending to show or demonstrate that this is a god or to please this as a god. So that's interesting because that might mean that you have to make a declaration before you do avoda. We saw in our Mishnah the concept of a mikabel alav leluah, he accepts it as a god, or eliata, you are my god. The Rav over here seems to indicate, and I mentioned this yesterday in the Mishnah, the Chazon Ish has this idea that before one engages in avoda, that you have to give some information. It can't be something that you just jump in and you do the avoda, but from Rava, it makes it sound like you have to make some declaration that this avoda is associated with making this into a god. You first have to say Eliata, and then do the avoda. By that, you've given power, assigned power, authority to this item, and then your worship is worshiping that authority or that power, that avoda zarah. Without that context, without saying Eliata beforehand, we don't know. You're worshiping, you're saying this avoda could be out of many factors that are driving you, not necessarily that it's a god. Obviously, intent is important here, but it might be that that intent either has to be expressed, or we have to understand that that intent is there. So now the Gemara continues. V'amar Abaye mina aminala. How can I prove to you that I'm right about Ava and Ira? It's not. Ha'oved ovedat kochavim. When a person worships avoda zarah, echad ha'oved. This is our Mishnah, the one who worships. My love, echad ha'oved mi'ava u'mi'ira. What does it mean, echad ha'oved? It says, ha'oved avodat kochavim, one who worships avodat kochavim. What's echad ha'oved? Then why do you say worship if you just said you're worshiping avodat zarah? Must be there's a different mechanism or manifestation of a worshiping avodat zarah, and that is avah v'ira. So that duplication in our Mishnah of saying, ha'oved avodat kochavim, echad ha'oved. That Oved and the original Oved, one of them is saying you worship the for as a god. The other one is saying if you worship it, Bava Vira, you're also going to be Chayav. Rabba Marlacha Kid Mitarmates Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabba will say, like the way that Rabbi Yirmiya explained it, and Rabbi Yirmiya was the first statement right after the Mishnah, explains that Oved Ubdako Chavim, Echad Oved, comes to teach you Achi Kamar. Echad Oved Kid Darka. Oved means you do it in the normal way that it is worshipped. V'chad, and mizabeach, mikader, and then you have the other items which are even shalom, kedarka. So Rabbi Yirmiya's explanation of echad oved is not that it's about ava and ira, but rather it's about worshiping it in the normal way that you would worship this avodah zarah. So Rav is not convinced from our Mishnah that that includes ava and ira. Amar Abaye mina aminala. How can I prove it to you, D'tanya? Lo tishtachaveh lahem. You may not bow down to them. Lahem, iata mishtachaveh, avata mishtachaveh la'adam. You can't bow down to the idols, but you are allowed to bow down to people like you. There's no restriction in the Torah to bow down to the king, to bow down to other individuals. And that's why it's being said over here. The only problem with bowing down is when you're bowing down to an idol. If you're bowing down to people, that's not problematic, because that's a show of reverence, of kavod, but does not involve avodah zarah. Yochol afilu ne'evad ke'aman. You would think that if the person is worshipped like an avodah zarah, similar to what Haman did. But as Rashi notes over here, the reason that Mordechai refuses to bow down to Haman is because Haman makes himself into an avodah zarah. Because otherwise, why didn't he bow down to him? If the king says, bow down, you bow down to me, you give him the kavod. The only thing that could justify Mordechai's rejection of the instruction of the king is a situation in which Haman makes himself into an avodat kochavim, and then worshipping him would be the equivalent of worshipping avodah zarah. Tamal omar velo ta'abdeim. You may not worship them whatsoever. V'haman mi'ira hava. The case of Haman, where he makes himself into a deity, and then everybody's bowing down to him, they're not bowing down to him because they really think he is a god or he has those powers. They're bowing down to him because the king said that everybody's got to bow down to Haman. There was an external force pressuring you to worship the avodah zarah. Va aman mira hava nevad. And Haman was worshipped out of fear. And since he was worshipped out of fear, it shows you that worshipping out of fear is considered to be culpable. Virova says, Kaman velo Kaman. When it says like Haman, it means in part like Haman. It doesn't mean fully like Haman. Kaman deiu gufe avodat kochavim. Like Haman who made himself into avodah zarah. But not similar to Haman, because there people worshipped him out of fear, not because they thought he had any divine powers. But our case of here is a case where it wasn't done out of fear. So Rava says in the end that Haman is not a complete comparable, as opposed to Abaye thinks completely comparable, and therefore if you compare them, you would see that Yira is enough to make you chayav for avodah zara, because the worship of Aman was done mitoch ira. On the other hand, for Rava, he's saying you're right. But right though, when it says ki Haman, means like Haman who made himself into avodah zara, but not like Haman, because over there they did it mitri ira. Over here, you're only going to be chayav if you do it not out of ira, but out of worshiping the avodah zara. Rava Abaye, now Abaye tries another proof against Rava. Minamin Allah, how can I prove it to you? Titania, we have a brighter. Kohen, Mashiach, Belvudat, Kochavim. With regards to the chataot that people bring for unintentional violations of sins, and Vayikra Perakta, the Torah there lays out the prescription for different individuals who violate certain dinim unintentionally, that they have to bring chataot. So the first qualification is, has to be something that is a chiyuv karet, something that would result if you did it b'mezid in a chiyuv karet. If you do it unintentionally, then you bring a chatat. There, the parshiot divided up between what's called a chatat yachid. That's an individual who sins. Individual who sins has to bring a sira or a kivsa for their violation unintentionally. A nasi brings a sa'ir. Supposedly, the individual brings a kivsa or sira, which is a female goat or a female sheep. The nasi brings a sa'ir, the male goat. The kohen mashiach brings a par kohen mashiach, which is the special par that is brought for par helam davar shel tzibur and par kohen mashiach. So within the chataot, we have differentiation. There's also another parshia of chataot, and that is in parshat Shlach Lecha. Over there also, the Torah mentions the fact that one who makes a mistake or unintentionally does an avera, they bring a korban. The Torah Shebaal Peh tells us the split between the two. That which is found in Vayikra is about regular chataot. That which is found in Shlach Lecha is referencing to avodah zarah. And this is the nature of the Gemara's question that Abaye is bringing as his proof, which is, what does the Kohen Mashiach do if he worships avodah zarah unintentionally? So we know already, if it's anything besides avodah zarah, he brings a par, the par Kohen Mashiach. Question is, by avodah zarah, where there's no distinction between the Kohen Mashiach, the Nasi, and regular people, there, what is the din for those other individuals? So Gemara says, Kohen Mashiach, but without kochavim. Kohen Mashiach who unintentionally violates worshiping avodah zarah, Rabbi Omer b'shigigat maseh, he has to do it by making a mistake of unintentionally doing something, even though he knows what the problem is and he knows the restriction. Chamim armim behelim davar. Only chayav if he forgets the law as a whole. B'shavin, and they both agree, shibisi'ira kiyachid. The korban that the Kohen Mashiach brings is a si'ira, just like a regular individual. B'shavin, and they also agree, she'ein mevi asham taloi. He does not bring an asham taloi. So over here, the Gemara brings another distinction that is found in Horiot between the chatat of a yachid and the chatat of the Kohen Mashiach or the paralam davar shel tzibur. And that is, the individual can be unintentional in one of two ways. They can be unintentional in what's called shigigat maseh. You knew it was wrong. You knew that there was an issue, but yet you still unintentionally violated it. That's what's called shigigat maseh. There is also another possibility, which is helam davar, which is that you forget the law altogether. You forget, or you give the wrong psak, or you get the wrong psak. That's called helam davar. So the Gemara in Horiot tells us, and you can see it from the Psukim, that by par helam davar shel tzibur, and the par kohen mashiach, which is connected to the par helam davar shel tzibur, both of those are only chayav if they have helam davar. If they forgot the halacha, they paskened incorrectly and then acted on that psak. But it has to derive from what's called helam davar. It has to derive from the fact that you forgot the halacha, or you made a mistake about the halacha. On the other hand, a regular korban of a yachid, the chatat yachid, could be for either of the reasons. It could be for helam davar, or it could be for shigiat maseh, which is that you knew what the halacha was, but you made a mistake in what you did on the activity that you engaged in, because you forgot about the fact that it was asur. So what the argument here is, if by parkar mukhoin mashiach, which is the chatat of the kohen gadol for regular mitzvot, over here we have avodah zarah, what is the violation that he needs to engage in unintentionally in order to be chayav, the chatat, here as they say, everybody agrees, it's a chatat of a si'ira. So here you have a machloket, Rabbi Omer b'shigiat maseh. Rabbi says that we don't hold the kohen gadol to the standard by other mitzvot where he needs helam davar. Over here, we say that by avodah zarah, even shigigat maseh is enough. Chamim omrim be'elam dover. The Kohen Gadol, just like by other Averot, he needs to forget the Aloch in order to be Chayav. So too, by Avodah Zarah. Rabbi and the Chachamim disagree about this, but they do agree that he brings the Korban of a Yachid by Avodah Zarah. Shavin she may be Hashem Taloi. And also, he cannot bring in Hashem Taloi. And that is based on the fact that an Hashem Taloi is brought when a person has a Safek as to whether they need to bring a Chatat. The nature of that Safek, exactly how it works, is discussed in the Gemara in Kretut. The Torah says, V'Hashem Taloi, Al Shigagato Asher Shagag, for the mistake that he has made. From there it sounds like that you're only bringing Hashem Taloi for someone who is in violation because of Shigagat Maseh. As we saw before, Shigagat Maseh is only true by the Korban Chatat of a Yachid. But the Korban Chatat of the Par Kohen Mashiach and the Par Lam Davar Shel Tzibor are only brought when there's Helam Davar, not if there's Shigagat Maseh. So since the Kohen Mashiach's violation of whatever precept it is would have to be done through Helam Davar, not Shigagat Maseh. Hashem Taloi is connected to Shigagat Maseh. So since you're not in the Parsha of Shigagat Maseh, then you can't use the Hashem Taloi. So now, this whole introduction to explain this is coming to bring a bias proof to the fact that he's right, because he says, I Shigagat Maseh dovedako chabim echidami. What exactly is an unintentional worship of Avodah Zarah? Ikasavar beta kinesidu, if he thinks it's a shul, vishtachavelo, and then he bowed down to it, there his intent is pure. Since his intent is pure, that's what's going to govern over here. It's not a problem. Ela techaza and darta vishtachavelo. He saw some representative monument or statuette, and then he bowed down to it. If he accepted it as a god, mezihu. That is an intentional violator. He's not an unintentional violator. If he didn't accept it as a god, lo klumu, then it's nothing. So why do you care about it? If he didn't accept it as a god, then whatever he's doing now is not relevant because he's not worshiping it as a god. Elalav. So then what is this Shigagat Maseh of Rabbi? Must be me'ava u'mi'ira. Makes sense. Explain how we get to a Shigagat Maseh that you're going to be chayav for. There's some lack of intent here because you're not really intending to worship it of Azara. You're doing it because of Avayira. But nevertheless, that's classified as a Shigagat Maseh. So as Rashi explains over here, V'hai Omer Mutar, the case of Omer Mutar here is Kiyai Gavna Diyodale the Isra Baruch Chachavim. He knows about it. V'chol Avodot Shela, Lav Helem Dover Korilei, Afopi Shne'alam Yemenu Isra Ahava V'ira. Even though he forgot about the fact that Ava and Ira are not allowed to be worshipped out of Ava and Ira, that's not classified as being Helem Dovark, Shein Zemi Gufe Yisur, because those items are not integral to the din of Avodah Zarah. Helem Kem Nenemanu Ikar Avodat Kochavim, unless he forgets the whole concept of Avodah Kochavim, Bechat Me Avodotah, in one of its aspects of worship, because he thinks Shabudah Zu Mutar La, because he thinks that that is Mutar, that part of Avodah Zarah is Mutar. So therefore, for Abaye, that's called Shigagat Maseh. Even though the person forgot about a law, about Abba and Yira, that forgetting about it is really a Shigagat Maseh, because he's forgetting about something that's not an integral law, or integral to Avodah Zarah, and he's acting based on that. Whereas, if he forgot about one of the dinim of Avodah Zarah, or he thought you're allowed to worship in this type of worship, like this Zvicha, that would be considered Helem Dover. And that's how Abaye explains the difference. Rabba Malacha, no. Rabbi Yochanan says no, but Omer Mutar. It's a case where he says, you know what, it's Mutar. You're allowed to worship it. He thinks that whatever he's doing is permissible. Mistakenly so, but he thinks what he's doing is permissible. Omer Mutar, Hainu Helem Dover. If you're going to say that, then he's no different than the Chachamim. Then the Shigagat Maseh Rabbi now turns into the Helem Dover of the Chachamim. Because you're saying to me now that the Shigagat Maseh means Omer Mutar, that's the equivalent of forgetting the halacha. And the truth is that even the Chachamim would agree with that type of Shigagat Maseh. The Gemara explains that there's a difference. Omer Mutar means that you forget about it completely. You don't know that there's a Avodah Zarah. You don't think there's a concept of Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, when they were talking about Helem Dovar, they're talking about something which is Kiyum B'miksat U'bitul M'miksat, is upholding a portion of it and denying a portion of it. You know part of the halachot, but you forgot part of the halachot. So for instance, he knows that there's an Isra Avodah Zarah and you can't sacrifice to it, you can't bring incense to it, but maybe you can bow down to it. That's Helem Dovar, where he forgets about one aspect of it. Omer Motar is where he doesn't think there's a concept of Avodah Zarah, or Avodah Zarah is not problematic at all. I think this is totally fine. So that distinction will be Shigat Maseh to Helem Dovar. So that'll be the distinction between the position of Rabbi and the Chachamim according to Rava. That'll be the definition of Shigat Maseh and Helem Dovar, which now are much closer together than we thought before based on Rava's explanation. So now to your question. The explanation here of Yirah is very difficult. It says you're going to worship because duress was placed on you. You're afraid of someone. That means that you're worshiping out of a Zara out of fear. Don't we have a principle coming up in Perek Ben Sorer Umareh, which is that there are certain items that you have to be Yehareg Be'al Yavor, that you have to give up your life and not violate them. Those are the three cardinal sins, and one of those three cardinal sins is Avodah Zarah. I mean, according to Rava, how could it be that you're patur by the case of Ava Nirah when there's a requirement of Yehareg Be'al Yavor? So the Balei Tosafot over here asks the question, Yesh Lomar, Ni'id Dechayav Limtzor Atzmo Lechatchila. The Chatchila, you have to give up your life. You have to be Yehareg Be'al Yavor. Mimkom Mokom Eichad Lo Masaret Atzmo Lo Mechayiv Mita. In the case where you don't give up your life, you will not be punishable by a death penalty. So what Tosafot says over here is that the requirement of Yehareg Be'al Yavor is lechatchila. That's what you're supposed to do in these situations. If you don't do that in these situations, and you end up worshiping the Avodah Zarah under duress, it's onus rachmana patre. The Rambam formulates it similarly to what Rotosafot says over here, that in those situations, you already say onus rachmana patre, the Torah releases someone who has committed an Avera under duress. So you have two different dinim here. You have the din that you're supposed to give up your life. You also have the din, if you don't give up your life, you will not be chayav mita. But yet there, he still seems to indicate that it's a sore and it's problematic.
It's actually a chilul Hashem.
Just we're not going to give you a death penalty from it because the Torah releases you from the death penalty, but not that it's considered to be acceptable. And then he brings an alternate answer. V'yesh mifashim, hadamar yehareg v'al yavor, haynu bistam avodat kochavim. The case of yehareg v'al yavor is in a case where you have just regular generic avodah zarah. Over here you have a case where they're worshiping the Avodah Zarah and everybody does it for this ulterior motive or this other intent. So if it's a Stam Avodah Zarah, in that case, if you worship it, you would be in violation of Avodah Zarah and you have to give up your life of Yehareg Ve'al Yavor. On the other hand, our case over here is a case where it's done me'ava mi'ira, but there are many people worshiping them me'ava umi'ira. And so therefore, when you go and worship the Avodah Zarah, it's not obvious that you're doing it out of intent to accept it as a god. It's more likely that you're doing it because everyone else is doing it. Again, that mob mentality, or the idea that you're convinced by the fact that everybody's doing it, that that's what you should be doing. In that case, you don't have, according to Tosafot, the obligation to give up your life, and you'll be subject to the machloket here between Abaye and Rava. So in a case where you're just worshiping Avodah Zarah, and it's not something that people are compelled to do, in that case, you have to be Yehareg Ve'al Yavor, because there's no reason to believe that your worship here is different than anybody else's worshiping. On the other hand, if everybody's compelled to do something, then if you're also being compelled, everybody knows the only reason you're doing it is because you're being compelled, and nobody really believes in this Avodah Zarah, because everybody's being compelled to go along with it. And that's in this case of Ava Nira, that everybody's doing it out of Ava Nira, that if you then do it, you're patur, because you don't have an obligation to give up your life, because everybody knows you're just doing it Me'ava Mira. On the other hand, if you are just in a regular Avodah Zarah, and you acquiesce to worship the Avodah Zarah, over there it looks like you're acquiescing because of the fact that you believe in that Avodah Zarah. It's not obvious from the context or from all the other people that are worshiping that it's being done under duress rather than true belief in the Avodah Zarah. But then that does raise the issue of why didn't Mordechai bow down to Haman? Everybody bowed down to Haman because they feared what the king said. The king had a decree. So why is it Mordechai then permitted to bow down to Haman? Now it's obvious, as Rashi says, that he made Haman into an Avodah Zarah, because otherwise why wouldn't he bow down? You're allowed to bow down to a person. So it must have been that he made himself into Avodah Zarah. But even in that case, based on what we're saying now, that shouldn't have been enough of a reason for him to be chayav to give up his life. So here, the Bali Tosafot suggests, Vim Tomar, the Rofa, Amailo Ishtachavem Mordechai the Aman. Why did Mordechai bow down to Aman? Be Ishlamar, Kedam Rabbi Midrash, Shayut Slamim Alibo. He was not only, did he consider himself an idol, but he was wearing idols on his neck. He had a necklace with an idol on it. He had adornments, which were idols. The truth is, it's not clear why that answers the question, because basically Rava says that if you worship mitoch ira, that that's not considered to be avodah zarah. So why does it matter if it's ira and you're worshiping Haman, or that it's ira and you're worshiping the tzlamim that are on Haman? It shouldn't make a difference. Obviously, Tosafot sees a difference between the worshiping of Haman, which was demanded by the king, versus the tzlamim, which were not demanded by the king, and that is why maybe it's classified as avodah zarah. Inami mishum kiddush Hashem, or the other possibility is kiddush Hashem. And this is also brought by the Ritva, and might explain the Shita of Rashi as well, which is that when Rava says that you are patur, means you patur mi mita, you patur min a korban, so why is there any consideration of Yehareg v'al yavor? That is because of Kiddush Hashem. The fact that this individual is demanding of you to worship this item or this idol, that is a problem, not because of the avodah zarah, because Rava thinks it's not avodah zarah. Problem is of what it looks like or how it appears. The appearance here is that you're acquiescing to the avodah zarah, even if your intent is l'shamayim. And the fact that someone's being machriach you to do it, on top of that, means or indicates the fact that they think that when you acquiesce, that that is giving into the avodah zarah or acknowledging the avodah zarah, and that is a chilul Hashem. And so the issue of Ereg Val Yavor is issues of chilul Hashem and kiddush Hashem, not necessarily whether it is or isn't the avodah zarah, it is how it appears or what it looks like in the context of being forced to worship this avodah zarah. Mordechai did it because of kiddush Hashem. Enoch Hanami, he wasn't obligated to do it, but nevertheless he did it. He go there that generation and show them that you have to take a stand for your religion. You have to do what's right, even though generally you would not be obligated to do this or give up your life for this. But nevertheless here, we think that Mordechai's taking the risk of not bowing down is worth it because it creates a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. All right, we're going to stop here 5 lines down on the top of Samach Bet Amud Aleph.